Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. And now the next manager of the Minnesota Twins, Dave Cohen on WWL AMFM.com.
No, that would not be a job I would accept, but I will accept filling in for Tommy Tucker today. So I'll be with you for the next 4 hours and glad to be here along with Ian and Joe and the rest of the team. AI deepfake voices are now indistinguishable from real human speech. That's the headline in an article handed to me this morning. It says AI has gotten so good that researchers say people can no longer distinguish between fakes and the real thing.
I hate any headline where 5 years ago I wouldn't have known what any of it means. And that's one of them. What?
Yeah, they tested the theory by playing a bunch of voices for hundreds of people, and they could not tell consistently the difference between the real humans and their high-grade voice clones.
I, for one, do not welcome the takeover of our computer overlords.
Some were even found to come across as more dominant and trustworthy than the real person.
Wow.
Yes. This frightens me on a number of levels, because now, not only can someone fake your voice and make it appear you're saying something you're not with these deep fake AI, artificial intelligence bots, but when it comes to evidence in court, in criminal and or civil cases, how can experts distinguish between the real thing and a fake? Hopefully there's still some serious analysis that can be done and looking at wavelengths and waveforms and things like that, that maybe, just maybe, the experts can tell the difference. But also, now, you know who's going to use this first and foremost? It's the spammers.
Yeah.
It's the people who are trying to separate us from our money, and who knows what this opens up for them to be able to do. I'm at a point now where if I get a phone call from someone, I will ask them an off-the-wall crazy question, like, how many fingers do you have on your left hand? Just to see if the bots have been programmed well enough to handle something silly like that.
Or you might find a factoid about someone that's an actual person. Seven. Oh, I didn't know that.
Wait, what? No, but it allows me to at least figure out if I'm talking to a bot or a real person when I get a spam call. And I've come up with a number of unique and interesting questions to ask. Some appropriate and some less appropriate that maybe I shouldn't mention on the radio when I really want to know if this person is real or not. But, yeah, I mean, I see the advantages of AI, and I see the benefits that it can provide in our society in terms of scientific research, in terms of, like, one example is that mapping the human genome and mapping individual human proteins take human beings years and years and years to do. But they've got AI computers now that can do it in a number of hours rather than years. And that I see as a scientific benefit, problem solving and figuring out solutions that humans have not been able to do. Great. I think AI could be very helpful in that. But who has been doing this research and refining this technology to a point that you can't tell a fake voice from a human voice? And why? What is the benefit that they perceive in having done this research other than for nefarious activity?
I know that people joke that we should have learned from the Terminator that this would happen. But in all seriousness, this is what happens when you allow technology to grow unfettered and unchecked. I think it's a time where the folks in Silicon Valley and the tech industry say enough is enough. Maybe we need to put some safeguards on this before the computers truly do ruin everything.
Well, the Terminator did sound like a robot, even though it was actually Arnold Schwarzenegger. So maybe AI.
Well, Arnold sounds like a robot, so.
Well, I guess at this point I should say, I'll be back. After this timeout, we'll get David Schultz in here, political scientist, to tell us what's going on Capitol Hill, why, and what a government shutdown means for us. Welcome your texts at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line. We'll read some of your texts, check in with David Schultz up next. As we continue here, I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on your, I like to call it, not Monday, Tuesday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Morning. Expect to be near record high again today. The record for today is 93 degrees. We hit 93 yesterday, so last day of September, not feeling at all like we're nearly in October, at least not down here in southeast Louisiana. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on your Tuesday morning. David Schultz now joins us, professor of political science at Hamline University, a frequent guest on WWL First News. Professor Schultz, thanks for being with us once again here on WWL.
Thank you for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Circumstances a little different this time. For the first time in nearly, 7 years, it looks like we're headed for a government shutdown at the federal level because lawmakers and the administration in D.C. just cannot agree on how to keep the government up and running.
That's exactly correct here. What happens is that by midnight tonight, the current federal budget year expires, and without some kind of a budget agreement or a temporary budget agreement, which we call a continuing resolution, most or a good chunk of the government will shut down. And what I mean by most or a good chunk of it, when we say government shutdown, not everything shuts down, but a lot of stuff does. And so, for example, the prisons will stay still operative. People in the military will still stay on their job. The Social Security checks will be still cut. But a lot of other stuff will shut down, including the national parks. And so all the indications are that nothing's going to happen in the next, 20 hours or so, and that as of midnight going into Wednesday, we're going to see a government shutdown.
Got some texts from some military members who are upset with the way that it's being downplayed as not being impactful on them, saying, hey, they've still got to pay their house notes, their car notes, and all of their bills and their everything else, and that while they will eventually be reimbursed based on previous government shutdowns, that it's really hard to live without a paycheck and make your ends meet and avoid delinquencies and late fees and things like that.
That's exactly correct. I should have sort of added one thing to my statement here, that the military will still be there, but exactly correct, as they pointed out there, they're not going to get paychecks. They're going to still be required to work, still required to defend the U.S. borders, but without a paycheck. And as we saw in previous times, I don't know how many people texted you here. As far as I know, most of us still have to pay the bills, send the kids off to school, make the car payments, et cetera, et cetera. It seems really unfair to me that because the Democrats, Republicans, and Trump, they can't agree. What happens? Everybody else pays or pays for it. And it's also important to point out here that during this government shutdown, Congress and the president still get paid.
Wow. Federal contractors do not, however, and they will not get reimbursed once the government's back up and running. So difficult for those folks as well. This seems to be the most basic job of government, is to run the government. A lot of people are really frustrated that it looks like they will not be able to do that. In the past, how long have shutdowns been? And do we have any indication of how long this one could last?
Well, the last shutdown we had was under the first Trump presidency, and that went 34 days. And that had a pretty big impact. I mean, I still see stories and articles about how many billions of dollars that cost people, whether it's contractors, everyday people. So that's the longest one. Some of them have occurred over the weekend where it's been, you know, they reach an agreement very quickly, do like an automatic continuing resolution. But this one has all the legs for a really protracted dispute, because both sides are digging in really, really hard in terms of what they want out of this. And Schumer, who's the lead negotiator for the Democrats, is under enormous pressure, because last time he appeared to capitulate to his base, and so or capitulate to the Republicans. And so this is going to go for a while. But, you know, there is a solution.
All right. Well, I'm going to pause you right there. When we come back, we'll find out what that solution is and what's really at the heart of this disagreement, and why negotiation has become nearly impossible, it looks like, on Capitol Hill, and why compromise has become such a dirty word. Professor Schultz will tell us all that coming up. Someone just texted us and said they're on I-10 headed toward Kenner from LaPlace, and traffic's at a dead stop at I-55. So let's check on that and everything else in WWL traffic. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. If you're headed from I-55 south onto the I-10 into Kenner, you're going to find about a mile of delay. It starts right as you get past 51 coming in from LaPlace. There's a crash there. Not clear how long it's going to take to clear, so you might want to think about taking 51 to Airline if you don't want to sit in that mess. David Schultz is our guest, professor of political science at Hamline University. And before we took our break for traffic, Professor, you were telling us there is a solution to avoid a government shutdown. What could that be?
What it could be is that Congress could enact a law that's called an automatic continuing resolution. And what that would mean is that if we reach an impasse like this, what would happen is that the current budget at the current level would continue in place until such time that Congress and the president agree to our new budget. And that's the most, it's a simple fix that basically says, I'll phrase it another way, we continue the status quo until they can reach agreement.
And they've done that a number of times in recent years, has had continuing resolutions while they work out their differences. What makes this time different? Why do the two sides not want to agree to a continuing resolution? Why are the Republicans and the Democrats digging in their heels and refusing to keep the government up and running?
Because they're both playing to their political bases at this point, that the Republicans have no incentive to want to negotiate, because they have the majorities, they have the president, and they say this is where our base is. Public opinion is suggesting that most Republicans support where they are. The Democrats, at the same point, their base is telling them that, no, you have to dig in. You have to show the Trump administration and Republicans who's boss, so to speak. And so the incentives are against any type of negotiation. And for anybody who looks like they're caving in, they're probably going to face primaries next year from somebody further to the left or right in their base that's saying that you gave in, you shouldn't have done that. So right now we're at this point where American politics is really a winner take all, take no prisoners approach. And anybody who runs on the banner of saying, if elected, I promise to work across the aisle, negotiate and compromise, it's almost like a dirty word right now.
Yeah, negotiation has become a dead theory, and compromise has become kind of a trap for anyone in politics. Is that because that the electorate really feels that way, or is it more that the folks who are funding campaigns feel that way, or why is it that we're at a point in our political evolution where there can be little to no negotiation across the aisle?
I think it's, I think the vast majority of the public opinion, if you look at it, supports negotiation. It's in the center. But the two parties are funded oftentimes by extreme interest groups, which are pulling them, you know, in different directions. And then this is the proverbial, what, tail wagging the dog? Yeah, tail wagging the dog, where the most vocal people in both the Republican and Democratic parties also are on the extremes. And they're the ones who make the most noise. Those are the activists. And combine that with the funders, and what you do is both parties are being pulled in their respective fringe directions, and then add to that the social media echo chambers where the extremists on both sides are getting all the play, and that's really the recipe for what's going on right now. Even though, again, if we ask the American public on a whole bunch of questions on all kinds of issues here, most of us are still centrists.
Yeah, so those in the middle, which are the vast majority of us, those who are not way to the left or way to the right, all end up caught in the middle of this and really are the ones who pay the dearest price without any feeling of satisfaction or reward, because they are not the ones who want this to happen. Professor, thank you for explaining this all to us, and I know we'll be talking to you as what appears to be a government shutdown is looming and may be long and protracted. Have a great day nonetheless.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Professor David Schultz at Hamline University. When we come back, we're going to see how small businesses are doing in Southeast Louisiana.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM FM and .com.
38 minutes after 6 a.m. in for Tommy Tucker on this day I like to call Not Monday, to stress the fact that we made it through Monday and 20% of our work week is already over. Where do you find your peace? Where do you find your zen? Where do you get to relax, Joe? When you need a break from the world, where do you find it?
Anywhere that is alone.
Yeah, but where can you be alone? You're
generally just driving in my car, listening to music. That's probably my most peaceful place.
You know, you're not alone in that. Ian, where do you find your zen?
The bathroom.
All right. You're not alone in that either. But a new study finds nearly half of millennials now say that they use their commute or their time in their car to think about life and plan their future. So those folks who are stuck in now what's about 2 miles of delay as you're on the I-10 headed from LaPlace to Kenner, well, look at it as time for reflection and alone time. We'll keep you company while you're there. Gen X says they're most likely to give themselves pep talks while in the car. Wow, really?
A pep talk?
A pep talk, yeah. Hype yourself up. You ever give yourself a pep talk, Joe?
No. The opposite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. And Gen Z says that they process their day while driving. A quarter admit to even taking naps in their car, not while driving, but I've seen that more and more. Like in our parking garage here, people got the music playing or they got the radio on, they got the air conditioner running, they're idling, and they're just taking a nap in the car.
Yeah, I've done that. Worried about a couple of people. I'm like, does he have a hose connected? Is this a situation? But yeah, apparently just sleeping.
Yeah, napping in the car. Don't do that in a garage, please. And it's not necessarily a great idea because it's wear and tear on your engine. You don't want to leave your car idling for too long. But yeah, apparently that's a growing trend. But yeah, more and more people, now nearly half, say that the car is their time and their place alone to get some self-reflection and peace of mind.
I believe that because here in my car, I feel safest of all. Can lock up my doors. It's the only way to live in cars.
Thank you, Gary Newman. All right. There's Ian Ozan and Joe Cardosi. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Text me, 504-260-1870. Is it your car? Is it the bathroom? Is it somewhere else where you get your kind of chill out opportunity? Text me and let me know. Coming up next, we're checking in with the director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation for Independent Business on the latest survey of how small business owners feel things are going for them in this time where, well, times are difficult financially for many. Is business feeling the pinch? We'll find out after this on WWL. All right. If you're coming in from LaPlace toward Kenner on either I-55 or I-10, we got a wreck about a mile past the I-55, I-10 interchange, and it's back in traffic up. So you might want to think about getting off in LaPlace and take an airline in. But if you've ever done that before, you know it doesn't take long for that to start backing up as well. Looking for Zen? We'll find more and more people find it in their car. But we're hearing from other places that people find their relaxation and their alone time. One person texts us and says, I live on the North Shore, surrounded by woods, sitting on my back porch, watching the hummingbirds tussle over the feeders. That's my Zen time. I was just doing that yesterday, watching the hummingbirds. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Another person says, call me old-fashioned, but riding my lawnmower is my peaceful spot. Yeah, if you got a riding lawnmower and a bunch of land, you usually do find some just, you know, nice, quiet time to yourself while you're riding that mower till you hit a bump. Another says, my garage, working on my 68 Camaro. And another person says, the car might be the favorite place to get some relaxation. Hell, it costs as much as a house nowadays. Yeah, in fact, the last SUV I bought cost almost as much as the first house I bought in Metairie. So that's how much times have changed. And financial pressures are a real thing for many people when you look at inflation and tariffs and everything else. Leah Long is the director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses and joins us now. Good morning, Leah. I'm Dave Cohen filling in for Tommy. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me on today.
Glad that you're here. What are you finding and what are you hearing from the small business owners across Louisiana in terms of this financial uncertainty that's been happening now for several months when you look at these tariffs that may or may not be coming that are announced and then pulled back or that are announced and then actually are in put in place? How are, when you add in that and the inflation we've been dealing with, and the month-to-month inflation was huge from June to July, how are local small businesses feeling about their financial well-being?
Yeah, so on our latest survey, we put a survey out every month, kind of just, you know, gauging how the small business owners were doing the month previous. So in August and September, kind of it's one of those things where optimism has increased. But one of their biggest issues, of course, we're still dealing with inflation. We've been dealing with that as small business owners for, you know, how long, a year or so now, even longer than that. But the biggest issue that they're facing is labor issues, you know, trying to find a skilled workforce to be able to fill those job openings that they have. And that's kind of where they are right now with their biggest issue moving forward.
So tariffs are not at the top of their concerns now, even though we keep seeing different tariffs put in, whether it's now on the furniture or on the steel or whatever it is that may affect their small business. That's not at the top of their concern. It is their inability to find qualified people to hire.
Yeah, when it comes to tariff, of course, NFIB, we kind of represent every industry that there is in business. So it kind of depends on the industry. But when we were talking about tariffs back when everything started, we were also dealing with, are we making 20% small business deduction permit, which I think I've been on here talking about that it was signed. It was in the big, beautiful bill. And so that increased optimism of small business owners. And so when everything was going on, we kind of put most of our focus on making sure that 20% deduction made permanent and signed by President Trump. So we haven't really gauged everyone on the tariff set because we do represent different industries.
Why is the top concern finding qualified workers? What is the issue that is preventing these small businesses across the state from being able to hire people they feel like can help them move forward in their business?
The last several months, it's kind of shocking that 21% of small business owners reported that labor issue was one of their biggest concerns in their business. Just, I think, you know, when you're a small business owner, you know, you're investing in that employee when you hire them. Some businesses don't have HR departments, so you're spending your own capital to get them into the business and train them also. And so being able to have that skilled work set, whether it's in construction, whether it's in transportation, manufacturing, you know, whether if you're looking for someone that can run the cash register and do different parts of a retail job, just making sure that we have that opportunity for employees to find employers and vice versa.
Yeah, and I've talked to several people who have been looking for jobs and they can't get offers that they like or find employers that need their particular skill set. So there seems to be some disconnect. When we come back, we'll ask Leah Long, what's the solution? How do we solve this problem of employers not being able to find qualified employees and job hunters saying that they're not able to find openings that fit their skill set? We'll talk about that after we get you updated on WWL traffic. Well, tariffs, economic uncertainty, and inflation are concerning many small business owners. Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, tells us the top concern they hear from their members locally is trouble finding qualified applicants to fill jobs they have. We've also heard anecdotally from job seekers that they're having trouble, and it's taking them months sometimes to find a job offer that matches their skill set. So, Leah, what is the solution here? How can we solve this problem with relatively low unemployment right now? How do we get an applicant pool that can fill the jobs that workers, that employers have open, and find ways for people who are searching for a job to find one?
As we continue to make Louisiana business friendly, it's going to continue being investing in our workforce. And we've done very well the last past legislative sessions on, business partnerships with community colleges, business partnerships with trade schools, being able to do that. But this last session, one door policy passed, which kind of streamlines the process with DCFS and the Louisiana Workforce Commission to connect employees with employers. And so as that program continues to get built out and they engage in that, I'm hopeful that that's going to be a kind of a helpful tool for job seekers to be able to log on one place and kind of see what jobs are out there available and what matches their skill set. And that's going to continue to help small business owners fulfill those jobs that they need. So that's going to be one tool. And, you know, as we move in the 2026 legislative session, being able to continue to do more workforce related policy making changes. And that's going to be huge for the labor issues that we're having.
So would you advise small businesses to touch base with the Workforce Commission if they're having trouble finding qualified applicants to see if maybe there's some pipeline they can tap into for them and help them out?
Yeah, the Workforce Commission is always a tool to be used. Of course, LED, Economic Development, Louisiana Economic Development, there's always stuff going on there. There's always information. Obviously, if there's anything NFIB can do, reach out to us and we will kind of push you in the right direction also.
One person texts us and says that their small business's hardest part of hiring is that they can't find enough qualified applicants who can pass a drug test. With the proliferation and decriminalization of marijuana in Louisiana and legalization elsewhere, is this an issue that you hear from your members, is that they have more trouble hiring people who are not using drugs, not using marijuana, and won't fail a drug test?
Not necessarily. That's not something we've kind of engaged on. And again, I think that's going to come down to being industry specific, you know, depending if you're a transportation business or if you're a retail worker or whatever it may be, that's going to be kind of targeted to your direct business and what type of business you own and operate.
Anything else you want to share with us, Leah Long, as we have the opportunity to touch base with you and the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses?
No, as we continue to move through holiday season, I know we're out with Q3 tomorrow. Q4 is a big quarter for small businesses because we are celebrating all the holidays. So remember to shop your local small businesses.
Yeah, and a lot of people have already started their holiday shopping. And we know that as we enter October, far more people will do that. Remember the locals. Thank you, Leah. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Text messages are coming in on the Oakmont Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We were talking about a new study that finds more and more people find their car their relaxation location, that they really get right with their mind while they're driving or sitting in their cars. And more people are even sitting in their cars when their cars aren't moving. People are napping in their cars or going out to their cars during their breaks. One person texts us and says, my employees started spending their lunch break in their vehicles during COVID, and now it just continues. So not going to the break room, but going to the car during your break. You ever done that? I have occasionally, if I have a morning shift and then something I have to deal in the afternoon. I've taken a short nap in the car, but try not to make a habit of it. I'm Dave Cohen. We're back after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.